I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll find out more about the late civil rights activist Lawrence Guillot and his impact on American politics. That's in a moment. But first, it's time for Faith Matters. That's the part of the program where we talk about matters of faith, religion, and spirituality. You probably know that Hanukkah, the Jewish Festival of Light, is being observed this week around the world. But what you might not know is that one of those celebrations is taking place in Nigeria. Nigeria is Africa's most populous country and one of its most diverse. And among the Igbo, an ethnic group in the southeast of the country, thousands of people have embraced Judaism. Jewish Igbo are not yet recognized by Israel's rabbinate, but their numbers are growing. 3 years ago, William Miles spent Hanukkah with some members of this community. He's just published a book about them. It's called Jews of Nigeria, an Afro-Judaic Odyssey. And William Miles, who's also a professor of political science at Northeastern University, is with us now. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Your book describes them as Africa's newest Jewish community. How did it happen that this community of Igbo are now embracing Judaism?
So there are two stories, Michelle. One is the oral history, and the other is what I saw and what I experienced. And their oral history is that they are a lost tribe. One of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, the tribe of God, made its way all the way to West Africa, and that they have been preserving ancient Israelite Hebrew traditions ever since. And so they claim that they are just rediscovering their old roots.
Rediscovering their roots. Well, in the same way that people are familiar with the Ethiopian Jewish community, and which now has a significant presence in Israel. But the Ethiopian Jews, as I understand it, are recognized by the Israeli rabbinate, but the Nigerian Jews are not?
Right, and they're recognized by the Israeli rabbinate in large part because there has been a continuous record of Hebraic and Jewish practice on the part of the Ethiopians for thousands of years, actually. That's not the case with the Igbos, because even though that they claim that they're going back to their ancient roots, it's only within the last couple of decades that they're actually practicing as Jews.
Now, you describe them as the world's first internet Jews, because you're saying as the internet became more widely available in Nigeria, it gave these people the opportunity to explore and embrace the religion. So can you describe like how that worked out? What was it? Was it there like a group of families who had a strong informal or oral tradition connection to Judaism and then began to practice more formally? Is that how it worked?
That's how it works. And, you know, I have to say that Nigerians and Africans, they take religion very seriously. I mean, a lot of people, they go to bed at night wondering, am I in the right faith? And so it happened with this particular group of what they called Messianic Jews. These were Jews who were practicing what they thought was the Judaism that Jesus practiced, and that is the Judaism, including Jesus, that was good for them. And then they discovered, partially through the internet, that Judaism actually has evolved in the last couple of thousand years, and that there are people who call themselves Jews who don't need to have Jesus within their theology. And through the internet, they learned about how Judaism is worshipped throughout the world, and most fascinatingly, they started to master Hebrew. It's really tough to learn Hebrew on your own, but thanks to the internet and through some photocopied prayer books, they are masters at it.
So you spent Hanukkah with some members of this community. How similar was it to how you would have celebrated at home?
Well, it would be very familiar to any American Jew who plops down in Abuja in either of the synagogues that's there. The difference is that they don't really have the access to Jewish ritual objects that we did. So, for instance, I brought some portable menorahs for the lighting of the Hanukkah candles when I went, and it was the first time that people were able to light in their own homes, because what they would do otherwise, they would gather at the synagogue and light a makeshift menorah. And you got to picture this: Coke bottles, which they painted, built a wooden box to put them in, and then put regular whatever candles they have, and they would light those. And that was the menorah.
You described a lot of the creativity that has gone into the embrace of the faith, but you also talked about the fact that some of these families have made some fairly major sacrifices in order to adopt and embrace Judaism as fully as they would like to do so. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So there's this one Nigerian Igbo whose name is Emmanuel Ben Yonatan, and his Igbo name was Abor. And he said, my wife could not comprehend and insisted that we should go back to Christianity. Look, I said, I have found the faith of my forefathers. There's just no going back. So we parted just like that because of the religion. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They take their religion so seriously that having to choose between remaining with a wife who wants to remain messianic or Christian in whatever sense and regaining what they see as the faith of their forefathers, they're going to take the sacrifice.
What is the prospect for this community being recognized by the rabbinate in Israel? And why does it matter that they are?
Well, for them, it doesn't matter. They are happy to be acting, worshiping, practicing as Jews. And one of the Igbos whom I asked about this said, you know, from here in Nigeria, we're already doing Hashem's work. So no need for me to go to Israel and stir up any trouble. That's the thing about Judaism. It has prospered in the diaspora, and just as most American Jews are happy living as Jews, worshiping, practicing, identifying as Jews in North America, that's the way it is for most of the Igbos.
What do you draw from this? I mean, there are often very spirited debates about how Judaism should be practiced, you know, in part because of the various continuum of practice. What does a story like this do for your understanding, or do you think, of what it means to be Jewish?
Well, here in America and a lot in the diaspora and in Israel, one does not have to practice Judaism to be a Jew. The ethnic identity is sufficient. What my experience with the Igbos in Nigeria reinforced in me is that you can't take the Judaism out of the Jew. And it really raised questions for me as a semi-practicing Jew, I'll put it that way, for all of my co-ethnics here in America and elsewhere throughout the diaspora who don't really feel that it's that important to practice Judaism. But here, being confronted, being welcomed by and embraced by Igbos who take Judaism so seriously, what it raises is the question of what does it mean to be a Jew when otherwise one may have the option to take the religion seriously or not? And if any Jew has the opportunity, has the privilege, as I did, to spend time with this Igbo Jewish community, which I call Jubo because they're Jewish and Igbo, I think they would acknowledge that they have a lot to teach Jews around the world what it means to be Jewish. And I also want to say that this really is a double story. This is a very Jewish community, but it's also a very African community. And that's why I subtitled the book An Afro-Judaic Odyssey, because it really is exploring Igbo culture and Igbo traditions as well as Judaism in a unexpected context.
William Miles is a professor of political science at Northeastern University. He's the author of a number of books. His latest is Jews of Nigeria, An Afro-Judaic Odyssey. It's out now. He was kind enough to join us from Rhode Island Public Radio in Providence, Rhode Island. Professor Miles, thank you for joining us. And if I may, happy Hanukkah to you.
And happy Hanukkah to you too, Michelle.
One more word about Nigeria. You might recall that we ran an interview earlier this week with Nigeria's finance minister, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. Her 82-year-old mother was kidnapped on Sunday, just days after that conversation. We can now report that her mother has now been released and is now back with her family.